So my name is Dr. Vicky Avery. I'm the keeper of the Applied Arts Department here at the Fitzwilliam Museum, University of Cambridge. And I'm the senior curator, if you like, of the Applied Arts Department, 45,000 objects, which range from sculpture, arms and armour, furniture, clocks, watches, jewellery, textiles, glass, silver, fans, Islamic, Oriental, and probably a lot more besides. The university, I think, wrongly has a reputation still of being something like an ivory tower. It's quite hard maybe for the general public to feel welcome. Now, that's not, of course, the case at all. We are very open, but I think an exhibition where hidden treasures are brought forth from colleges, from different departments, from the museum, and recontextualised in a meaningful, interesting, engaging way with the public, is a really, really great way of allowing the public, as it were, in behind the scenes and a privileged access. After all, this is everybody's art. An upcoming exhibition is called Eat, Feast, Fast, The Art of Food in Europe, 1500 to 1800. And again, it's very much using the hidden treasures that we have both in the Fitzwilliam Museum and in other museums in and around Cambridge. And I thought that actually food and eating is a topic that absolutely everybody's engaged with. Everybody's got a view on it. You either love it, you hate it, but you cannot live without buying food, preparing it, eating it, and so on. So we really want with this exhibition to make it as accessible and engaging and as thought-provoking for as broad a possible public. We've been privileged to be given a 5-month run for this exhibition. So we hope to do, in the run-up, we've got 1 year now before the show starts, to do some very, very interesting public engagement work. We've got the 5-month run of the show, and we've also are keen to make legacy work after the exhibition. We've also got, obviously, the wonderful public programming that we can run alongside the exhibition. We've got the website. So, of course, this is a new way of engaging audiences 24/7 for free from the year before the show, during the show, and after the show, and obviously public lectures and so on. So you've got the real show, the website, the catalogue, and the public programme. We hope that through this very, very rich programming, we'll be able to reach new old audiences, excite old audiences, and really make this a show that everybody wants to come and see, and they come back multiple times, they bring their friends, they bring their family, and everybody can't stop talking about it. So I think the job of the curator has changed absolutely in a couple of generations. So when my father was a curator, the general public really didn't feature. I mean, it was very much the collection was for experts, and there was no didactic labelling at all in the museum. You were simply supposed to come in and know what you were looking at. Over the past couple of decades, there's been a much greater move to involve the general public, but it's been very much the curatorial voice, and there hasn't been so much perhaps public consultation about what the general public are interested in, what they want to learn about. In the last 10 years, we have a fantastic learning team, an award-winning learning team, and they are absolute experts in engaging with particular target audiences, whether they have perhaps certain disabilities, or they come from particular social groups or whatever, and is trying to work out with them how to make these objects come alive, how can they be meaningful, how can anybody engage in the best possible way with the objects, really, really learn, have a transformational experience, go out and then want to come straight back in again. What we're doing now is using modern technology, and people like that interactive experience. The problem is we have a duty of care for the objects. We cannot let everybody touch everything as much as we'd like to. There's also security issues. But I think now with modern technology, with 3D scanning, with 3D printing, with videos, with the virtual museum, one's got huge potential there to make the objects accessible. And if people cannot come to the museum, we can take objects out, and we can also bring virtual objects out into the schoolroom, into hospitals, into hospices, you know, so on. I think in the future there'll be even more co-curation. So for example, with the food exhibition, we are hoping to co-curate some films to get multiple voices, different voices, voices that have perhaps inadvertently in the past either been neglected or suppressed, or rather absent. So it's really about bringing more people in to curate, make the objects as interesting from multiple viewpoints to the maximum public benefit.